This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotus. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Lord, we pray that you touch your people. Touch your people, God. Lift their heaviness. Open their blinded eyes. Unstop their deaf ears. Give them a voice to speak your word and to sing your praises. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch each heart and each mind, and that you would, Lord, help us to surrender all to you, our heart, mind, soul, strength, spirit, all of us. All of us, Lord, belong to you. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask that you give me clarity of thought, precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet of which I should write upon the word of faith, the word of God that will bring healing and deliverance and peace, prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we're joining with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim, chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And we glorify your name in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Amen. I want to use for a thought or a title or topic and tag to this message this morning, a life-changing experience. A life-changing experience. Brother, he said that Christ, when the light shined, that he became blinded. Amen. One of the early church fathers, Athanasius, said that in order for us to be able to see, we must first become blind. It's like looking into the sun. You must become blind in order for you to see. If you think you can see with your intellect because you're so smart and because you have so much knowledge, then you can't see who God really is. See, he's God without your knowledge. He's God without your intelligence and your ability. He's still God all by himself. He's the self-existent one. He don't need anyone to exist. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Where did God come from? Nowhere, because he was already here. Okay, let me. He says, look, he says, and he journeyed. As he journeyed, he fell. And it says that he heard the voice, and he said, who are you? And the light, Christ, the Bible said, Jesus said, what? I am the light of the world. And the light shined in what? Paul was walking in darkness even though he was religious. He was in darkness even though he knew the word. I wish I had somebody here. Look at this. He said the confrontation here is that he was blinded. And look, and when he was blinded, when he could not see, the word spoke to him. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus began to speak to him. And sometimes we need to allow that blindness that we're in. We don't need to panic. Just let the word speak to us. Sometimes you can't see your way, but God will speak to you. Sometimes it seems dark in your life, but let God be the one to speak in your ear. Come on and say, amen now. And so when it says that he didn't even know who he was. Now, guess what? Paul was religious, but he didn't know Christ. Can I park there for a minute? We can go to church and still don't know who God is. We can praise God and talk about praying to God and reading the word and not really seek him diligently, but go through the motions, and then we don't even know when he's speaking versus when it's our own heart. Versus when it's the devil speaking, versus when somebody done put something in our head and we think that's God. Come on and say amen. You gotta know when it's God. How do I know it is God? By spending time with him, seeking him diligently. I can't get to know him just by some, you know, a few minutes of being in his presence. I can't get to know him just from praying just once a day at night. I can't get to know him just by picking up my Bible on Sunday, reading only the scripture that I told you to read on Sunday morning. That's not going to happen. You won't get to know who he really is. You won't get to know the intimacy of God unless you really read his love letter to us. That's what the Bible is a love letter to us. Okay, all right. So this confrontation, God, Jesus confronts him. And let me tell you something. If you got some enemies and you're trying to do the thing the right way, if you're doing if you're in the church, then whoever it is that is your enemy, God will confront them. You don't have to. Amen. Praise his name. Saul was an enemy to the church. And Jesus said, I'm going to look. If they're persecuting the church, that's me. Yeah. How's that? How's the church him? How he says, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, I don't even know who you are. How can it be that I'm persecuting you and I don't know who you are? You see, and some people don't know who you are. They don't know the Christ on the inside of them. The Bible tells us that In Psalm, it tells us in 100, it says that we are the sheep of his pasture, right? Yeah. So we become sheep. Now, you got to know, and I want you to listen to me clearly, you got to understand the progression of a Christian. You got to understand the progression of those that believe in God, because he doesn't intend for you to stay sheep. I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. He don't intend for you to stay sheep because he wants intimacy. And if God said in the law that it was that it's illegal for a man to be with an animal, you know what I'm talking about, then neither will God be intimate with an animal. If you're a sheep, you're still an animal. Y'all stay with me. Don't go nowhere. Y'all stay tuned. And so we got to stop. We got to go from being sheep to becoming the bride.
Amen.
So what happens when you become the bride? The marriage is consummated.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
And when the marriage is consummated, that means two become what? One. And if two becomes one, then you go from being the bride to becoming the body.
Amen.
And then if you become the body of Christ in the earth, why are we looking for him to do it from heaven? And he said, I empowered all of you to do it on earth. He said, in my name you shall speak with new tongues. In my name you will cast out devils. In my name you can lay hands on the sick and they might recover. Do I have any witnesses in here that said I need to do what he said do in order that I may be able to do the greater works than these? So he confronted him. He said, you know, I blinded him and I talked to him. See, sometimes God got to put you in a blind spot so he can talk to you. You're too busy being religious. We're too busy trying to do it our own way. We're too busy thinking that we right about everything. And ain't nobody right about everything. Tell somebody, you ain't right about everything. I know you think you are, but you ain't. Come on, tell them with some authority. I know you think you are, but you're not. How about that? We are not right about everything. I don't care if you feel right. Or it's a whole bunch of people did some stuff that felt right, but it wasn't right. Preach. Put that on your shoes. We need to understand that we're not right about everything. Even me, I can admit I'm not right about everything, but sometimes I feel like I am. But that's when I go back and I look to see and I evaluate the word and evaluate myself and say, man, I wasn't right. I'm so glad. I'm confessing to you. I'm so glad that nobody holds against me what I preached 20 years ago. Because some of it was mistakes. Some of it was because I heard somebody else say it. But when I got to know who he was, he corrected me. He changed me. I had a life-changing experience. I felt bad when I said something I shouldn't. And God changed me and let me know that that's all right. Another day is coming for you to clear it up. Let me tell y'all something. It's something how when I began to try to clear up the stuff that I had said, the people that was saying the same stuff that I used to say, they were saying, he's got some strange doctrine. You know why it's strange? Because you're an alien to Christ. Because you don't know him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You haven't talked to him to see if that is in fact what he said. All right. I don't know how far I'm going to get here. Been up here about 30 minutes already. So he says now, the confrontation is that God spoke to him. He had to blind him to speak to him. The reason why God lets us be blind and in the dark about some things is because if he doesn't, then we'll keep walking by sight. Amen. We'll keep doing what we want to do. Amen. Going the direction that we plan to go in. And God said, I need to blind you so you quit going in that direction. So I can stop you, so you humble yourself, so I can change your life and bless your life. Come on and say amen here. Amen. So he was trembling, and Jesus said this to him. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In other words, it's hard for you to win this one, buddy. It ain't no way you're going to get by this. Oh, come on and say amen. A prick is a long wooden, like a peg that has a pointed metal end on it. And it was used to prod animals like oxen that were big animals so that they would move in the direction that you want them to go in. So God was telling Saul, he was letting him know that it's hard for you not to go in the direction I want you to go in. The Bible says that we all got our own will and our own way of doing things, but he tells us that many are the devices of a man's heart, but it's God's counsel that will stand. If you find God pushing against you, then you need to flow with God. Don't flow against it because you won't win. It's hard. Tell somebody it's hard to kick against the pricks. Oh, you only poke yourself. You only injure yourself. You only hurt yourself by trying to go against what God is saying. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When he realized in his intelligence wasn't going to be enough to deliver him from this. When he realized that his blindness had happened, and it had happened from some unknown source that he had no idea that even existed. When he realized that, he said, Lord. He realized that he was lower than whatever it was he was dealing with. He said, what will you have me to do? He was willing to do whatever it took to get back his sight and to know who it was that he was up against. And you're talking about somebody who was religious. Somebody who thought they was right. They found themselves in a situation they were facing God and didn't even know how to get themselves out of it, so they had to submit. Sometimes you just need to go on and submit. Say, brother, you need to submit. Sister, you need to submit. Why? Because you can't fight against what God has. You can't fight against the will of God. His will shall be done. Oh, come on and say amen. He says, look, he says, and he says that, and Saul arose from the earth. Before that, he says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They heard the voice, but they ain't see nobody. Won't God put witnesses around you? You see, just in case, the devil says, that wasn't God, that was just your mind. You know how the devil do, that's your mind playing tricks on you. I know what I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that's your mind playing. No, it ain't devil. I got witnesses around me. Y'all don't hear me in here. I got witnesses that let me know that it wasn't my mind. I heard something and they heard it too. Ain't that somehow God will allow people to hear what he's saying to you? And he ain't even talking to them. But they'll stand astonished. Oh, Lord, have mercy. When they see the change in your life, when they see God move in your life, it does something to them to make them say, I know there is a God, because if God hadn't have changed them and God hadn't delivered them, I never would have known who God was. Okay, so he says, and he went on, they led him by the hand. Saul rose from the earth and with his eyes, when his eyes were open, and he saw no man. Even though his eyes was open, he still couldn't see. And sometimes we got people that are religious like that. Eyes wide open. Can't see. Can't see how people are. Can't see no man. All they can see is themselves. I wish I had some. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. So they led him by the hand, brought him to Damascus. And see, some people, because they're blind, they got to be led by other folks. The Bible said we'll be led by the Holy Spirit. Huh? He said the Holy Spirit will teach us. Come on and say amen. And we need to know when the Holy Spirit is speaking like he's doing right now to let you know that he wants to be the leader in your life and not some man. We gotta find somebody to follow. We gotta be able to say it like they say it, do it like they do it. But the Holy Spirit is our what? Our leader. And so he was led to Damascus by the hand, and the Bible says that he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink, right? Now we see this conversion in verse 6, how he was converted, how he began to believe. He called Jesus Lord, and he began to ask him what is it that he would want, that God, that Jesus wanted him to do. In other words, whatever your will is, I need it because I can't see, I can't do anything without you now. All right. And so when he got there, he was 3 days without vision and did not eat. In other words, he's beginning to fast. And the Bible says that let's read it. Let's see here. He says, go to verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, this is Ananias. This is Ananias, who is a disciple who is at Damascus. Right. He said, arise and go to the street which is called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one who's called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed. Wait there. God spoke to somebody else about being a blessing to somebody who was struggling with something because he was praying. That's why it's important to pray. Because somebody, if you're praying, then God is hearing your prayer. Now, you know what God could have did? He could have just healed him. He could have let the scales fall from his eye. He could have just allowed it to happen without anybody. But God said, I need a disciple. I need a disciplined person. I need somebody who know me already, somebody who listens to me already to go and do a work. Oh, glory be to God. I just want to ask the question, are you a disciple enough? Are you disciplined enough to follow after the orders of God? And even though it's somebody that you don't like, look at this. I want to show you something. The Bible says Ananias began to question God. He said, but God, you know this Saul, I've heard about him. He's the same one that drug people to jail and the same one that's killing people that believe in you. And you want me to go pray for him? I wish I had somebody in here. And I thought you said that I ain't praying for my enemies. I ain't got time for them. I ain't fooling with them. I hope God punish them. I hope God bless them. You know you really don't mean bless. You mean curse them. Come on and say amen. But then here it is, Ananias looks at his enemy and says, I got to go do what God said do. God said, that's all right. Because the same man that persecuted where he was going to persecute at, he got to preach right there. Preach up in this house. We got to look at what God is doing here. If we want God to change some people, we got to pray for him. If we want God to do some things differently, we got to begin to pray. I wish I had somebody in the house. The Bible said that Saul, even though he didn't know who he was talking to, began to talk anyway. He began to pray. He began to talk to the Lord. I wish I had somebody. And as the Bible says, that as he prayed, God had already prepared Ananias. God had already showed him a vision. God had already revealed to him. I wish I had somebody in the house. See, sometimes people don't know God because he hadn't been revealed. But when God began to reveal himself, things begin to change. And I don't know about you, but I want God to begin to reveal himself. I need God to reveal himself to the young folks. I need God to reveal himself to the old folks. I need God to reveal himself to the religious folks. I need God to reveal himself to the atheists. And so I need to start praying. And if we would all just begin to pray, somebody might believe, somebody might be changed. Somebody might have to fall down and humble themselves before the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt them in due time. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I'm going to pray? Because they told me if you pray, you'll stay. I'm going to fast. They told me if you fast, you'll last. Do I have anybody that said, I'm going to do the will, whatever God wants me to do? Do I have any witnesses that say, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. You have anybody in the house? Say, I'm like Ananias. I might be afraid now, but if God send me, I will go. Somebody shout yes. shall glory. When I look at what Ananias was facing, Ananias said, I'm minding my own business. I ain't bothering nobody. I'm just following God. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I walk in the ways of Christ. But when you walk in the ways, God might want to use you. So it doesn't matter what the task may be. He might call you up at any moment and say, go tell your enemy. What if God woke you up this morning, told you to ride over to your arch enemy's house, pull out $100 and put it in their hand? Would you do it? I wish I had somebody that'll tell the truth. You know, you'll say, I rebuke the devil. That can't be God. I know God wouldn't tell me that, knowing that they don't like me and I don't like them. I wish I had somebody come on and shout glory. But God will tell you to do some things that you don't think he'll tell you to do, because he'll try your faith. He'll test you out to show you that you still need some working on. He'll test you out because he already knows what kind of person you are. So he reveals himself so you can see yourself. What happened to Isaiah? The Bible says, oh, come on and shout glory, that in the year King Uzziah died, that he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Come on and say yes. And he said, woe is me. The word woe in the Hebrew, it means ooh-wee. I know I'm in trouble because I done seen the Lord. And he said, ooh-wee, I got around people who have unclean lips. They cuss and they lie. And not only them, but I'm a man of unclean lips. I cuss and I lie. I wish I had somebody. When you begin to see God, you begin to see yourself. When you start to look at God, the mirror is held up to you so you can see you ain't right and you ain't got it going on like you thought you had it going. I wish I had somebody that say, I'ma quit playing, quit lying to myself. Give me some sober thinking, and I'm going to seek the Lord while he may be found, because the night's going to come, and you can't see your way. I wish I had a few people to shout glory. Hallelujah. I need a life-changing experience. I don't know about you, but I need my God to reveal himself, to help me along the way. Sometimes I want to give up because the going gets tough and it gets mighty rough. But when the Lord shows up and reveals himself, how does he reveal himself? Well, when I was sick, he revealed himself as a healer. Somebody say yes. He's not my doctor because he don't have to practice medicine. He's my healer because he sent his word and healed me. Somebody say yes. How do I know him? I know him as a friend, because when I didn't have nobody, when they turned their back on me, when they talked about me like I had a tail, somebody say yes. He was my friend when I was friendless. All my brothers are gone on. He's my brother. Somebody say yes. When you ain't got no brothers, somebody give him glory. When mama left me, I understood what David said. When mother and father has forsaken me, then the Lord, anybody know the Lord, will take me up as his own. Shout glory, shout hallelujah. Come on and give him praise. Anybody in the house need a life-changing experience? I need God to be my tuition payer, to be my mortgage payer, my car note payer. I need God to hold me up when people put me down. I need God to wipe me off when they write me off. I need God to help me to walk when I can't walk on my own. Somebody say yes. Anybody in the house know what I'm talking about? He said, they that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew their strength. They shall mount up. Anybody mounting up with wings of eagles, they shall run. Anybody running? I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Say yes. Running, trying to make 100, because 99 and a half won't do. They shall run. They shall walk and not faint. Anybody say, walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. While I'm on this tedious journey, I need you to walk with me. I need you to talk with me. I need you to tell me that I'm your own. Anybody need some love? Jesus is love. Anybody need some blessings? He said he'll open up windows. Somebody need to hear this. Maybe you said a door been shut. They shut a door over here. They shut a door over there. But I came to let you know there are more windows in the house than there are doors. So when they shut one door, God will open up windows, pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. Anybody need to make room? Go clean your closet out. Go clean your bank account and say, God, feel it. Say yeah. Say yes. Ain't he all right? Won't he do it? I say, won't he do it? Won't he, will he? Will he, won't he? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Say yes. Won't he open doors? Close in your face. Won't he heal you? Won't he touch you? Won't he save you? Say, won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? Won't he do it? Yes. Say yes. Say yes. He's all right. Tell your neighbor, slap high five and say, the Lord is all right. He's all right to live with, but better to die with. Say yes. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Yes, he is. One last thing. Grab your neighbor. Rock him and shake him. Say, you've been sitting still. I came to warm you up. Rock him and shake him. Shake them and rock them and let them know. I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Shout glory. Rear your head back and say, all right. Say, all right. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's all right. Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Hey, hey, hey. I feel good. Anybody know? I feel Jesus. I feel him down on the inside. I feel Jesus. He's in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, you can be healed. You can be changed. You can be touched. Anybody want him to touch you? Say, Lord, touch me. Lord, change me. Lord, rearrange me. Lord, heal me. Lord, touch my children. Make a way for them. Rearrange their minds, touch their hearts, say hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, touch them. Lord, help my community. Touch them. Change their hearts. Change their minds. Glory be to God. I need a life-changing experience. So what happened after Ananias laid hands on him? The Bible says that the scales fell off his eyes and he was able to see again. And a few verses down, he preached Oh, come on and say amen. Now he began to preach and contend with the Hellenists and other Judaizers to let them know that Christ Jesus had came, hung on a cross. Oh, I wish I had somebody that he lived down here, came through 39 prophets, fought in two generations.